All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. And I'm going to reverse some things here, Lopez. I usually try and end around the NFL with your daily update of the top 100 players as voted on by NFL players in the league headed into the 2025 season. Except we're going to start there for, I think, an obvious reason. Another Houston Texan shows up. So we were looking at this, and I think we had gotten to around the 34 and 33 range as we are really working our way back. We're finally getting towards the ends of this. We mentioned Buda Baker of the Cardinals and Josh Jacobs yesterday. Well, number 32 is Houston Texans wide receiver Nico Collins. And number 31 is George Kittle, who's a tight end. He also, George Kittle, had a fall. But Nico Collins, I didn't think I realized this. He wasn't ranked in the top 100 last year. And this year comes in at number 32.
Well, that's big time respect. That's, I mean, and 32, it doesn't seem, it actually seems pretty high to me where I thought he might come in. I mean, keep in mind, you know, there's quarterbacks, there's other receivers, there's the big time running backs that are still out there, defensive ends, rush ends, you know, all the TJ Watts of the world, and you know, all that stuff. 32 is pretty dang good respect.
If you want to put this in like draft talk, that's the 32nd pick, pretty much
in the league of the established players. Yes. Yeah. And when you look at some of the players that have not, the receivers that have not yet been named. You know, I just did a cursory search, and Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, you know, all these guys, Amon Ross St. Brown, you would expect them to be higher, you know, than that. I think that's great respect.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Really, really good respect. As we mentioned, they've been doing little vignettes the NFL has leading up to each release. This is some of the stuff that came off of the video for Nico Collins. And I'll start with Zaire Franklin, obviously the linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts, division rival. This is the praise that he had for Nico Collins.
I think Nico is special, though. Like, Nico Collins is the real deal. Deep threat, and you got to hit him. He's a big boy, so Nico like that. He's faster than you think he is. I didn't really recognize it last year. He's a lot better after the catch than I thought he was, too. Production speaking for itself, even though he missed some time, so definitely a lot of respect for Nico.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what really came to the forefront the last 2 years, but especially last year.
I was a little shocked at the surprise that Zaire Franklin was seeming to give on Nico Collins' ability after the catch. I figured that players in the league, especially someone who sees him twice a year, would have had some level of understanding of not just is he tough to handle with the size that he has, his catchability, his radius, and those types of things, but His ability to move and shake and, you know, be able to beat guys with his legs, you know, the fast, long legs that he has, but then also the amount of wiggle and smoothness that he has. I was kind of impressed, and I think that probably speaks to it as much as we saw some of that, particularly not last year, but the year before. I imagine last year was a level of confirmation for a lot of dudes in the league that, oh, yeah, he's like that.
Yeah, no, I think it is a surprise because of where he plays, but at the same time, players are just like us. When you see Nico Collins, you think big, long, fast. You don't think the guy that can, you know, necessarily, you know, make some moves, so to speak.
Yeah, and that's also still considering he broke 1,000 yards in 12 games. Like, this dude clearly showing the production, as Zaire said. I was very interested because Nico Collins himself shows up in his own video. This is Nico Collins.
Is Nico Collins a top 100 player?
Absolutely, if you ask me, for sure.
Why is that?
I feel like I bring a lot to the table, man. Big frame receiver, stretch the field, explosive player.
He actually said what I was talking about. Like, even he considers himself big, lengthy, fast, but he kind of left out, you know, what he can do, as you mentioned, after the catch.
Yeah, that was him saying that he definitely deserved to be in the top 100 as evidenced by being 32. Like, clearly he's right. He went on to say in that Nico himself, saying that, like, you know, he likes bringing the energy and, you know, being able to bring that to his teammates. And I was thinking about that because I think it might have been DJ Bienemy talking about this, you know, offense not having as many of those types of guys, especially with Stephon Diggs, like clearly being a guy who brought some edge and some energy to that offense. Obviously, Joe Mixon remains as one of those guys whenever he is ready to play. I wonder how much Nico Collins, I mean, we don't view him as that type of guy. He really is just kind of a quiet come in and work guy. But he mentioned it, like bringing that kind of juice. Do you think that maybe we're just missing some of that, or maybe he is has a level of evolution as he feels himself more, and clearly he gets more of that respect, to where maybe he gives more of that to the offense in general.
And different ways to bring that juice. You know, some guys are just hair on fire, screaming, sure, running around, you know, in the middle of the huddle, breaking them up and all that stuff. He might just do it a different way, and I think it's clear that however he does it, it works.
Real quick before we move along, one more from the audio, and it's Will Anderson Jr., and listen to the question that he gets asked here, and the answer that he gives.
Last question. Who's number one?
I'm going to say Nico Collins. I feel like Nico is very underrated, and I feel like he deserves so much more love. Nico is a big threat in his league, and he had a little time off from everything, but like, I 100% guarantee you if he didn't, he would be breaking all types of records.
Who's number one was the question. I can't say specifically if that's who's number one in the top 100, who's number one on the team, who's number one on the offense, who's the number one wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I don't know which of those questions it could have been, but the idea that he goes Nico Collins for any of those answers is deeply interesting.
I would guess receiver, and you know, obviously bias involved. Yeah, that's his teammate. You know, he's going to want to say it, and you is being videotaped. But it's still, you don't necessarily think, oh, you're crazy. You know, your immediate reaction is, oh, you're nuts. You know, he doesn't have the accolades or the acclaim that, like, the Justin Jeffersons have, and he would be number one in my book. But you don't immediately discount it. You know? You don't discount it immediately.
No, so yeah. I do love that, man. He's getting his love. He deserves to get this love, and it only makes me more excited for mm-hmm. what he can do in an offense that would be, you know, better suited to his talents, gives him an opportunity to move around and actually get some more advantageous looks. And I think one of the big things for me of that Nick Haley's offense promises, at least over what we know Bobby Slowick's didn't give as nearly as much, is having the scheme create things in addition to the players themselves. That is so very interesting, because if you extrapolate that out with a fully healthy Nico Collins where you mm-hmm. get maybe 16, 17 games and a more productive Nico Collins, that sounds like a cancel Christmas type situation.
Well, what's the running game going to do? Because I think his big plays are going to come off of play action. Given the way that they're setting up the offense, it could be game over. You know, if their running game is just significant enough to give him the opportunity to make those big plays on a play action.
Speaking of game over, as we continue around the NFL, we're continuing to look forward to the start of the 2025 season, which for the Texans runs through SoFi Stadium in LA against the Rams week one. And I am getting even less and less confident that mm-hmm. Matt Stafford will be there with the Texans on the field. Apparently he's going to test his back with another workout tomorrow, and that they're going to try and have him go for this game. But that back injury mm-hmm. went from, oh, no, we're just kind of monitoring and dealing. Like, basically, the idea, you know, being that, yeah, oh, they're just kind of just trying to manage it a little bit. We'll test and see. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll give it a try. It really feels like this is not going to be a good thing for Matt Stafford this year, particularly for week one.
To me, it feels like Yordan Alvarez hitting off a tee. It really does. Because Matt Stafford, they didn't say he's going to practice this weekend. They said he's going to start working out. He's going to work out this weekend.
Yep.
I asked the question of you guys before the show. Are we at the point where it's clear Stafford just won't be the same guy even if he does play? My answer is yes. I am at the point where he will not be the same guy. I get Matt Stafford, big brain, big arm, you know, veteran, all that stuff. Maybe he could fall out of bed and throw for 300 yards. I don't think that's the case anymore.
Yeah, I kind of felt like that last season. I know he had an okay season last season, mm-hmm. but I felt like it was kind of going downhill mm-hmm. From last season too, man. I just don't see him as the same Matt Stafford that
you.
Can threaten to get to a Super Bowl mm-hmm. or make some noise in the playoffs.
Are you there?
Oh, 100%. Like mm-hmm. last year it was injuries that keeping him away from the game, but now it seems like, and when you talk about a back specifically, like, I do wonder, that's part of helping you generate your power. Obviously, it comes from your base, but that back is a rotational portion that deals with it.
Yeah.
And I mean, if he's had back issues to the point where he's not practiced at all in training camp yet, that is with the red jersey. Mm-hmm. That is before we take Knox. Only God knows what it looks like when he's playing. If for no other reason, then what if it's just the psychological portion of it? If they mm-hmm. get to the point where they manage his ability to actually throw the football physically, the psychological part of protecting yourself changes. Now, the name that comes to mind here, you got to take it with a grain of salt, because I don't know how much people like believe in his game just generally. But Kirk Cousins, you could see the difference when he started dealing with injuries and he was just trying to get rid of the football to avoid all level of contact.
Mm-hmm.
The level of game that he previously had and the level of game that he was playing with last year became so abundantly clear that it was lesser than. And I can only imagine what that looks like for Matt Stafford, especially when you look at number 51 and number 55 on those edges coming at you.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What about even just the first hit? Forget sacks. Or being warned. That's just after his first hit.
Hey, it's tough to do anything with your back hurting, man. Like, it don't matter what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just don't see him being the same
person. There. I don't think you're going to get...
I'm not worried about Matt Stafford.
I guess you have to worry a little bit, but I'm not really either.
You're just completely... You're good on it?
I'm good on it.
Wow. Okay, I find that to be very interesting. Some other things that are happening around the NFL. I was reading an interesting story in ESPN about the strategy of organizing an NFL locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, some of the conversations that were had, like talking about the Falcons, Michael Penix Jr., who actually in one of these preseason games had a very unfortunate lower third, or actually it wasn't a preseason game, but I think one of the local news channels tried to put Michael Penix's name up there, made the very obvious misspelling. And so we're in this place, baby. We are already here where we are getting the jokes, the man anatomy jokes, except it wasn't even a joke. It was just somebody messing up their job on TV. That's neither here nor there. The story kind of talks about Michael Penix and his positioning where his locker last year was next to Jesse Bates, the third big time safety that they acquired with the Falcons. And even he did not realize that this was probably intentional because they went back and forth all season long, kind of Jesse Bates giving Michael Penix kind of game on, you know, the things that he's seeing from a defensive perspective, the things that he would do. You know, they pass the iPad around. There's other instances of, you know, like J.J. McCarthy being next to Harrison Smith in Minnesota and Darius Slay having a locker next to then rookie corner Quinyon Mitchell, so on and so forth. And that got me thinking, for your Houston Texans, like, who are the guys that you're hoping are sitting together?
Yeah.
Or in that locker room, maybe giving game to one.
And first of all, you know this, but maybe some people don't. It's all planned.
100%.
Every last seat in that locker room. And I'm talking like head coach and general manager get in on it. Like, where do you think so-and-so should be in the locker room? Now, a lot of times, which is interesting in the case that in the example that you gave, a lot of times offense and defense are separated.
Well, sometimes.
But not always.
Like, I think was Kyle Shanahan of the Niners. He makes it intentional that guys are not sitting next to dudes in their same position group.
Right, right.
Like, and I do wonder, because, again, I don't have a full accounting of this, and I really wish that we'd had an opportunity to talk to B. Scott about this, who is frequently in that locker room, to get a feel for what he has seen from D'Amico Ryans' tendencies here on the locker room kind of situation. And if he follows in line with someone who I know he probably has a good respect for in Kyle Shanahan, where he's having guys who are entirely outside of their particular position groups and maybe offense next to defense, not necessarily boy-girl, like it's an elementary school, but, you know, kind of getting guys in different perspectives where they might get some different game. But especially for the rookies, like a Jaden Higgins, right? So
that's
so
the one I was thinking of. Jaden Higgins with Nico Collins and Jalen Noel with Christian Kirk.
I think Jalen Noel might actually be next to Braxton Berrios, the way that they've communicated. But even if it's not like...
Christian Kirk, man. He's a we heard some, I think it was Jalen Noel talking. I don't know who it was, but talking about just his professionalism. It was Jalen Noel, you know, the like his attention to detail, et cetera. Christian Kirk can give him so much. Yeah.
You know what the answer is for me when it comes to Ariante Ursary?
Who?
It's not anybody on the offensive line. I think that like Danielle Hunter, like have him next to D Hunt. And because it seems like Ariante has already gotten a decent amount of like, you know, experience and a decent amount of game from playing opposite Danielle Hunter. And he even talked about it in one of those earlier weeks of training camp, the idea of and what we were talking about of, you know, the best players have that same level of standard even when they're tired. That was a Danielle Hunter joint. That was something that he got. So, like, I can only imagine the things that he continues to get all season long being next to Danielle, who I imagine is not a lot, not a huge talker, but if you're locker room, you know, locker neighbors, so to say, I imagine you get probably more opportunities for that as well.
Yeah, probably in the locker room he's more so. Yeah.
Or even just a little small talk on, hey, I like that technique you did, next time move your feet back, or just that kind of, because they're going against each other in practice, so that could be some measure time.
Who do you sit Blake Fisher next to?
Ooh, that is a good question. Mm-hmm. That is a really good question because I still don't know if it's anybody in.
You want to sit him next to somebody nasty.
Okay, like to try and engender some of that physicality.
Yeah.
Could that be a CJ Gardner-Johnson situation?
Ooh, that'd be a good one. Oh, the conversations would be awesome to listen into.
I'm like, could that be a CJ Gardner-Johnson? Because I also think that the out-of-the-box pairings, and of course, I think, again, if you see it on ESPN, it was a story about.
Or Al-Shaair.
That would, Aziz would be the great answer. That's a great answer.
Yeah.
Now, are y'all trying to sit them next to a defensive player or just anybody?
No, just to learn. Okay. Because my big complaint with Blake Fisher has always been, I don't know how nasty he is. I don't know how much, you know, real,
because,
you know.
The first person I thought about was Tytus Howard, because Tytus Howard is somebody who came in as a project and worked his way into like probably one of the better offensive linemen on his team.
Yeah.
So I felt like he could probably learn a little bit how to get to that point.
Sure. But of course, one of the things that I thought was interesting was just the ways in which, you know, some of the coaches go with a guy that's not in that same position group, not on this, and sometimes not even the same side of the football. And there's just different perspectives. I always think of it like, I kind of view college in some ways as we've gotten to a place where we've made it into job training, where I view more college as an opportunity, a different way of thinking. And sometimes I like it when somebody goes to college for something, gets a level of different way of thinking and brings it to a different area.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that it helps them think differently. So I honestly view it kind of similarly, where you have a defensive player talking to an offensive player and having a different perspective than the coaching that they get in meeting rooms and, you know, being around their group, either in the meeting room or on the field. It's just a different perspective being there in the locker room, where hopefully you get something, some other level of help in allowing you to push forward to being the best version of yourself. So I think that that would be really cool. That's going to be another one. I might have to get down there after the game and see what's happening post game, or at the very least check in with the many people that we know end up in the locker room and get a feel for, hey, what is the landscape?
And we don't even know if they separate or not, you know, offense and defense and all that.
No. And so I kind of want to get a feel for what the Texans are doing maybe with that locker room. And we know that the locker room is tight knit, right? Mm-hmm. We know that those guys really vibe together. So I'd be interested to see maybe what some of those pairings are. Somebody said Blake can sit by the trash can for all I care. All right.
I got one on the phone. I got one on my phone that said, sit Christian Harris next to Lance McCullers Jr.
832, Christian Harris in the medical room. Okay, very good. Blake sitting next to Trent Brown would be,
that'd be good.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
I like that. Somebody said tackles next to the ends. I love that as a general idea as well. And then of course interior guards next to the tackles, right? The defensive tackles be cool as well. But yeah, I might see about, you know, I might give that as an assignment to B. Scott or whatever, or maybe Bajani, somebody that heads down there to the locker room, or I might even take
that. Should be a question to one of the players, to be honest.
Yeah.
Not a bad one. I might see about that tomorrow, because we got football, baby, noon at NRG Stadium between your Houston Texans and the Carolina Panthers. All right, coming up next, I do want to circle back again to another ESPN thing, but this one actually regards position groups. They did rankings across the NFL of various different position groups. How do the Texans stack up, and what are the position groups that you're looking to still see improvement from over the remainder of training camp? 713-572-4610. We'll do it next.